Welcome to the Cheyenne Vineyard Podcast, bringing you a message of hope for your everyday world. If you'd like to contact us at info@CheyenneVineyard.com. You can also find out more information about the Cheyenne Vineyard Church at CheyenneVineyard.com. Thank you and enjoy today's podcast.
It's really good that we're learning how to pull on heaven in these times. I'm learning this worship song myself, and it starts out, "I fall at your feet," or "I fall down on the floor." Humbly before your feet. I know you want me here with my suitcase full of needs. That about says it. Because that is the reality. He wants us to come with our suitcase full of needs. He doesn't want us to leave our suitcase full of needs at home and pretend that it doesn't exist so we can come here and smile and pretend like everything is great and wonderful. No, he wants us to fall down on the floor. And just open that suitcase full of needs and say, "Come, come, Lord, you see all this." Because he is the God who provides. He's the God who heals. He's the overflowing, ever-present one. He is God, our victory. All of those things and so many more. He is. And, you know, sometimes I complain a little bit when the Lord changes things in midstream, and I want you to understand that I'm not really complaining. Okay, because I really love it when he does that, and I discovered that the way that I learned how to go with the Holy Spirit when he was going somewhere else was when I was a worship leader, and I would just have this slight sense that maybe we were supposed to go this way. And I discovered that every time I followed those little nudges, things were way better than if I hadn't. So, I mean, I don't even hesitate anymore. I just there's not an ounce of fight in me or hesitancy in me, because I know if he wants to take us somewhere, that's definitely where we want to go. So, and he kind of did that with me in prayer this morning. And he's got some really good stuff for you guys. Better than what I had. No doubt about it. So we are back in Matthew 7, and we will go ahead and dismiss the kids at this point, so you guys can go have fun. We were having so much fun last week, we forgot to do that, and that was okay. So we had been working our way through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 way back last fall. And then we have taken a couple months off to look at the Advent and to speak about some things that the Lord has been saying about the new year. So now we are back in the Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, if there's ever a place where I would want to camp out and just teach from, this is what it would be. It would be the Sermon on the Mount. Because if you could just rip out about 4 pages of your Bible and that's all you could have, this is what you would want. Because Jesus is giving us what his kingdom looks like, what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And he is confronting assumptions. He's confronting the conventional wisdom of the day, of the people that he's speaking to, and it equally confronts the conventional wisdom of our day. Because we have mindsets of how we think things should be. We bring assumptions to the table of what we think God is like and how we think he works and what we think the church is like and what the church is supposed to be like. And unfortunately, the vast majority of those assumptions that we bring are wrong. And so, you know, we went through about a 2-year period before we launched the church, Joy and I and those that we had gathered, of unlearning what we had learned. Actually, our journey in unlearning what church was supposed to be like goes back a lot farther than that. It goes back probably 20 years. When the Lord confronted us with our assumptions of what church was supposed to be like and what he was like, and he began to reveal vision of a church that he would like to go to. And if you like the presence of the Lord here, if you sensed more of his presence or even felt more of his presence in your frame here today than what you're used to, there's a reason for that. Because we have purposely pursued trying to give God maximum freedom to do what he wants to do. I have purposely tried to relinquish as much control as I possibly can to him and to the Holy Spirit. And we've been sowing those seeds for how long? 5.5 years? Or is it 6.5? I can't even remember. Anyway, we're reaping now. This is a year of reaping. And it's going to be a fun year. I am looking forward to it. So, in looking at the Sermon on the Mount, we really have to look at the whole thing. Even though it's impossible to look at the whole thing on one Sunday morning, we really need to look at the whole message as a whole. Even though we're looking at individual parts, it's important that we see how everything fits in the big picture of this message. So what I want to do today, since we have been away from this for so long. I want to go back to the very beginning of the message, the part that a lot of people call the Beatitudes. And, you know, it finally got to me, why do we call these the Beatitudes? You know, is that even a word? What? So I did a little bit of research and found that one of the first translations of the Bible into a language other than Greek and Hebrew was the Vulgate, and it was translated into Latin. And the heading above the Sermon on the Mount was a Latin word that has been transliterated into Beatitudes in English. So it actually is not a word, and that's where it came from. But anyway, since that's familiar, when we look at Matthew 5, 3 through 10, that's what Beatitudes refers to. So let's begin there in the beginning of this message, and then we're going to jump all the way to chapter 7 and pick up kind of where we left off back in November, I think it was. So, blessed to be envied, receiving the favor of the Lord, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed to be envied, receiving God's favor, are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And even blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, the way Jesus begins this whole message is by telling the people that, you know, the ones who you've always thought were blessed and walking in the favor of God, those religious guys with the robes and the phylacteries on their forehead and, you know, all those really religious guys, well, they're not on the list. Instead, it was everybody who was listening to Jesus that day, the ones who understood that spiritually they didn't bring anything to the table. They were blessed. The ones who mourned about their condition, the ones who saw themselves as they really are, or were in that case, they're blessed. And that applies to us. So part of what Jesus is saying here is we're blessed when we recognize our need. We don't have to hide it. He actually wants us to come with our need, knowing it. Yeah. So he's giving us instructions for living in his kingdom in this whole message, the Sermon on the Mount. But in the first part, he's really showing us how how to come into the kingdom. And there's two things that a person has to recognize to come into the kingdom. One is that they are spiritually in need. That we're incapable of coming to God and being accepted with anything we can generate on our own. We need God. And then we recognize the amazing love and grace that God has for us. It's, you know, we talk about the intersection of crisis and desperation is a really great place to see God move. Well, this is like the intersection of need and provision, right? Right there. And that brings us into the kingdom. So that's how Jesus starts this message. And you can't read those Beatitudes without being drawn into some self-examination. At least I can't. Maybe you can. But I think that is the natural result, is, Lord, is this me? Do I recognize my need? Am I sorrowful about my condition before you, without you? Am I merciful? Am I one who brings peace? Lord, I need to have every one of those things that you just mentioned. Because I want to be blessed. I want to live in your favor. I need what you have. And in the beginning of the year is normally a time when people do some self-examination. That's why New Year's resolutions are so popular. People do some self-examination and they decide, you know, there's some things that need to change here. And so I am going to, as an act of my will, try to change some of those things. And most of the time we experience our inability to bring about change in our own lives if you still do New Year's resolutions. Because unless this is something that you've invited God to do in your life, and something that you've asked him to do, something that you've asked him to help you, help bring about in your life, it's probably going to fail. But we can ask the one who began this work in us to continue it in specific places, and that's exactly where we are picking up with the Sermon on the Mount today, in the second little section of chapter 7. That is the context of Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Jesus has told us what it looks like, or how to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he's gone through so many examples of what a life in the kingdom looks like, where the rubber meets the road. He talks about personal relationships, anger, lust, divorce, giving your word, retaliation, loving neighbors and loving enemies, giving, prayer, fasting, laying up treasures, worry, and not judging others. And those are, we've been through all those messages already last year. And they are available on iTunes and on the website. So if you missed any of those, there is some great stuff there. But let's go to the passage that we want to focus on today. I know that was kind of a long introduction. But Matthew 7, starting in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now this is a really powerful passage. It has been abused somewhat by not looking at it in the context of the overall message that it is a part of. And when we look at it in the context of where Jesus says this, he is speaking into our self-examination. And he is saying to us, if your life isn't matching what I just said about anger or retaliation or loving your enemies, then that's okay. I'm not offended by your humanity, but you need to ask me. Ask the Father to change you. What I'm shining my light on right now, ask me to change that. And it will be changed. If you just try to do it, how many times have you already tried to do it? How's that working for you? That's what I thought. That's why Jesus is rather persuasive in the way that he communicates this to us. He says, ask, knock, seek, and you'll have it. Now, some have used this passage to look at God rather as kind of a Santa Claus in heaven who will give us anything and everything that we ask for. That is taking this passage out of context. Because he really is not that interested in feeding our flesh or our carnality. And we know that our flesh is just those desires of our body for pleasure that can be fed in a number of ways. Many of them lead to addictions. And our carnality is when our being, body, soul, and spirit, is led by our soul. And we're either led by our logical, rational mind or our emotions, both of which are not very effective in bringing us closer to God. Because if you've followed God very much, you know that He doesn't often do or ask us to do what our logical, rational mind would come up with. And He often does things and asks us to do things that confront our emotions, like loving our enemies. So instead, the context of what Jesus is saying here is you were created to live in the presence of God. Your spirit was created to have communion with God. And if you want to be led by the Spirit of God communing with your spirit, then ask me anything you want in that regard, and you will have it. See, Jesus says basically the same things in John chapter 15. And that whole chapter is about the vine and the branches. Jesus being the vine and us being the branches, and we are to abide in, to live connected to the vine. And He says, starting in verse 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." So again, the statement in John 15 is in the context of bearing fruit for the kingdom. And Jesus says, anything you ask in that regard, you will have. Now, what the Lord highlighted to me this morning in prayer was part of that first passage that I really wasn't even going to address. But there are a lot of people in here who need the last part of that section from Matthew 7 addressed. And that part was about which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? There are a lot of people in here today who've got scorpions. There are a lot of people here who got serpents from their earthly dads. There are a lot of people here who didn't have a very good model in their earthly dad of what their heavenly dad is like. And when they needed, when you needed something good, and sometimes when you asked for something good, you didn't always get something good. Sometimes you got a bad thing instead of the good thing that your Father in heaven wanted you to get.
I am not like that.
And I thought it was really funny that he would ask me to do that. But I believe he broke some things today. Because when he asks us to do what I'll call interesting things, he's got purpose. Because our Father in heaven is very purposeful. And Lord, I just agree with you right now in breaking off of these people wrong perceptions of you that are based on their experience and their assumptions. And I just speak the healing word of love to every heart in this place right now, in the name of Jesus. And the Lord wants you to know that you don't have to pull back from Him to protect yourself anymore. Sometimes you had to pull back and protect yourself from an earthly dad. But the Heavenly Father, He just wants you to grab His leg and not let go. And all you will ever find from Him is love and acceptance and a vision of you, how He sees you. And this is the other thing that I believe the Lord wants to release today. I was talking to Teresa this week, and she told me about a time she spent with another pastor in town when he was inviting people to go on a free trip. And a free trip sounds good, right? Who wouldn't want to go on a free trip? I mean, unless it was like to chug water or something. But, but I mean... Who doesn't like a road trip? Well, this wasn't the kind of trip that they were bargaining for. And this pastor gave kind of an invitation. that if you would allow the Lord to give you a vision of your future and something that He wants to make you passionate about, He will take you on a journey, not just a trip. You want to do this, okay? So about, I was just thinking about the journey that Joy and I have been on in the last 18 years or so, and particularly in about the last 8 or 9. And, you know, I was a state employee, an economist. I was happy for the most part. I was serving God in a way that I was comfortable with. Got that slide of the wheat field. And there I was, minding my own business. And the Lord speaks vision and dream. And that was, it was about the harvest in this city, in this region. And He started us on a journey. Because He spoke things that were too big for me. I didn't even have a grid for what He was speaking. And He took me out of everything that I was comfortable with. Because He had a vision for us that was different than where we were headed. And so, I mean, what else are you going to do? You got to say yes. I mean, He's God. So we just kept saying yes, and see, there's this wisdom that God has in that He will only show you so much. Because He knows if He showed you the whole thing, you'd just run. But He shows you enough to keep you going. Because what He is after when He releases a vision, a prophetic vision, a dream into someone's life, what He's looking for is a long obedience in the same direction. You don't have to do everything perfect. He's built our humanity into his plan. Now, that's not an excuse, but that's reality. Because he loves us even in our humanity. And none of us are big enough or powerful enough to mess up his plan as long as our heart is still saying yes. So I feel like I'm supposed to pray today. Now, we're starting our prophetic teams probably next Sunday. So we'll have people up here at the end to pray for healing or whatever, and we'll also have people up here to give encouraging words from the Lord. So I'm excited about launching that, but usually when God releases vision, prophetic vision, it's not in a setting like that. He even likes to do it one-on-one. And sometimes he does speak it prophetically from people, but usually from people who have a serious proven track record. You want to make sure of that. But this is what I feel like I'm supposed to do. A few weeks ago, when the presence of the Lord was so thick in here that you could, I mean, I really couldn't hardly stand. I had to sit down. One of the things that the Lord was doing was releasing dreaming. And some of you were here, and I know the Lord did something with that. So I just want to pray for more. Because there are so many ways that the Lord wants to bless this city through us. How many people are in here? There's probably 110 or something. There's that many different ways that God wants to bless this city through all of us. Because he's gifted each of us differently. He's wired us uniquely. And he wants to release passion. And out of that passion is going to come prophetic vision of what God wants to do. There are businesses that God wants to raise up in Cheyenne. I'm excited about the healing room that's officially launching this week. Because what the church is called to do is bring the resources of heaven to the city. Bring the blessing of heaven to the city. And so that's why we're doing the healing rooms. We have a God who heals, and we got a lot of people out there who need healing. Hello, that's an intersection of provision and need again, isn't it? Well, we're starting this Celebrate Recovery ministry because we have resources for freedom from heaven, and we got a lot of people in the city who need to be set free. Hello. We got that intersection again, don't we? The prophetic teams. You know, the only way this is going to work is if everybody on the prophetic teams are given words of prophecy out in the marketplace all week long. And then you're going to blow the doors off this place with what God will release. And it's going to be the same way with healing. We sow out there, and we reap out there, but when we sow out there, we reap in here. Robbie Dawkins taught us about that. I am excited. So I don't know all the ways that God is going to release passion in us and all of the ways that God is going to bless and prosper the city because we are the blessed ones from Matthew chapter 5. And we are blessed to be a blessing. We're not supposed to be like the Dead Sea where everything comes in, nothing goes out. No, we're supposed to be more like a river. It comes in, it goes out. And the banks keep getting bigger. So, let me pray. Thank you, Father, that you are good. There's no shadow of anything in you that is not good. Every positive character trait there is in its absolute full expression in who you are. And in who you are toward us. And Father, I thank you that we are the blessed ones from Matthew 5. We are. And there are things that you want to do through the people in this room that are beyond even their imagination right now. And that's okay, because you are all about stretching imagination. So right now, Father, I pray that you would awaken passion. It's already in you. It may be deeply buried. You may have tried really hard to hide it from yourself. But I just breathe life into the passion that God has put in each person in this room. And Father, I ask for a release of vision for destiny for each person in this room. And right now, in Jesus' name, boundaries, you're broken. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. He just told me that I had the authority to do that. because I've walked it. So receive it. In Jesus' name. See, I never wanted to do this. I really like to be in the guy with the guitar up there. That was far enough for me. That was good enough. But God had more. And He has more for you. Ah. Thank you, Lord. So I look forward to hearing what God is going to be revealing. I believe He's going to speak to some of you in dreams while you're sleeping. He's going to speak to some of you in just visions while you're awake. You're some of you, all of a sudden, a bunch of dots are going to be connected, and oh, that, wow. So just look forward to that. And did you want to make any announcement about what comes next?